I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am. From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Los Angeles, Apostle Joel Obobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teaching that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. When you're here, it makes a big difference. We pray, Lord, that somehow each of us will encounter you in a special way today. In Jesus' name, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, preaching, teaching, understanding the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, a blessing. You may be seated, everybody. Hallelujah. All right. It's a blessing to be here again and today. Amen. From going around quite a bit. But it's good always to come back home. Yeah. Why is Maureen so quiet? It's powerful. Amen. Right. So I bring you greetings from everywhere. Amen. All the brethren greet you. Amen. And yet the last 2 days I was in Miami, and where we had we were trying to have a convention. Then we realized at a point that we would do better with a camp. So we sort of converted the convention into a camp. And we had what we call a convention. Yeah. So we kind of screeched it into. But God was good to us, and it was powerful. Amen. It's really good to be here, and especially as we enter the month of evangelism, isn't it? It's a month of evangelism on the Lighthouse calendar. So it's really good, you know. Oh, by the way, Absalom. So I was wondering, if you don't have abs and you have a pot belly, what are you going to call it? Pot Salom. Pot Salom. Or Potiphar. So Absalom is for the guys who have the abs, and Potiphar is for the guys who've got the pot going. Amen. But I thought that was ingenious and really nice. Amen. Right. So, I was talking about a month of evangelism, you know, and we're blessed to have something like that, and we really should embrace it with the importance it deserves. Do you see what I'm saying? See, evangelism really should be a part of everyday Christian living. Do you see? Yeah. There really shouldn't be a month of evangelism. It's like having a month of bathing. imagine if we were to declare August, which is next month, as a month of bathing. Do you see? Yeah. You would wonder why there should be a month of bathing. But then, you can have a month of bathing. And when you do have such a month, your aim would be to emphasize it. Something that's supposed to be done every day must be emphasized. You understand? So you would expect that in a month of bathing, I mean, those who bath once a day will move it up to two, isn't it? And those who do two will try to do three, isn't it? Then different forms of bathing, isn't it? Yeah. And bubble bath, and then what else? You shower, and then wash your feet. Bath in a bowl. Bath outside. There should be different versions of it, you know, to show, and swimming as well, yeah. You know, just something that makes it different from bathing as usual, isn't it? So you must expect that this month we're going to do something a little extra. We should really do something a little extra. Otherwise, there is no point in having a month of evangelism. We must escalate everything and push it up a couple of notches, actually. Do you see? So that we can accomplish something great for God. Hallelujah. This is the reason why Jesus died. Jesus died so that people can have an opportunity to come back to Him. Do you see? The gospel is simply God, the good news of God trying to reconnect with man, whom He loves very dearly. You see, God created us in His image and after His likeness. God liked us so much. He loved us so much that He gave Jesus to buy back what He had lost, which is the fellowship between Him and a being He had created to love. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God loved us so much, He created us. He says, let's create man in our own image. Do you understand? Yeah. See, when people have babies, one of the compliments they appreciate so much is when you tell them the baby looks like them. Yeah. People like to hear that she has your nose. You get it? Even if your nose is not nice. You see, you like to hear that your baby looks like you. Do you understand? Because it's a compliment, really, that what you created looks like you. So God made man in His image. That was because his intention was to enjoy man. Do you understand? And so when sin entered into the Garden of Eden and God came to see it, He said, what is this that you have done? It's like you have spoiled everything. Do you understand? Because God is a holy God who cannot relate with sin. He cannot. God is holy. He can't be with sinners. Do you understand? Even you don't like to sit in dirty places. If you were sitting somewhere, imagine if you were just sitting somewhere outside, wherever it is, and a dog came to pee next to you, what is going to happen? You move from there. Do you understand? So our sins have the effect of separating us from God. Everyone who has sins is experiencing a separation from God, whether they feel it or not. Do you see? So imagine that you create someone who is supposed to be the object of your love and affection, and now that person is contaminated with something you can't stand. So it brings a separation. So the sin has brought a separation, but the love and affection remains. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's what makes you decide to do something about it. Find something that can take care of the sin that has caused the separation, so that that person you have lost can be returned to you. Hallelujah. So this is how Jesus comes in, because Jesus had to come and die. And that's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Do you see? So Jesus is the manifestation of God's love. That God loved us so much that he gave Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That means sin is active until there is the shedding of blood. Do you understand? See, the word remission is a word they use to describe like diseases when they are no longer active. Like if someone got cancer, for example, do you see? Then they go through a treatment. Then if the treatment works, then you would say that the cancer is in remission. That means it's not active anymore. It's not there anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, sin does not go into remission. That means sin remains active. And as long as sin remains active, separation from God continues. Do you see? So Jesus comes in, he sheds his blood to put sin into remission. And once sin is removed from between man and God, fellowship, sweet fellowship between man and God can continue and can continue to happen. Hallelujah. Now, this is the good news. This is what God has asked us to tell people. Can you not say this to someone? Do you see? So you can imagine how it breaks God's heart that we who have experienced that fellowship, you see, the resumption of fellowship between man and God, cannot tell others, are unwilling to tell others, are embarrassed to tell others that God has made a provision for them to come back to him. So that is why we need to have a month of evangelism. Are you getting what I'm saying? That people don't need, and you see, if the sin continues, then it's going to escalate into people having to go to hell. Isn't it? Yeah. See, when you have something you bring into your house and the thing is nice, you bring, maybe buy some grapes and you bring them to your house, and then they start to get corrupted, they start to rot. Do you see? You keep looking at them. There is a point where there's no more redemption. It just goes, you are forced to put it in the garbage, even though you bought it with your money. So some people cannot believe that God can send them to hell. Do you understand? Because they feel that God loves them so much. It's true. God, you love grapes so much. That's why you pay the price to get it. But now the grapes you bought, the way they are looking, you are going to be forced. Yeah? It weren't good, isn't it? So you are going to be forced to take the grapes, you see, that you paid for, and you're going to put them in the garbage. You are going to do that because the grapes are in a state that you cannot continue to admit into your beautiful home. Hallelujah. So God is serious about heaven and hell. And in spite of the fact that he loves man dearly, God is going to have to send people to hell. And he just wants us to let them know He wants us to tell the world that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell because God has made the provision through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can I have an amen? So do you think it's a good idea for us to have a month of evangelism? So that's what we're going to do. Amen? And throughout this month, we're going to be evangelizing. We're going to be doing different things. And we really should be. And I want to encourage all of you to, you know, try to make yourselves available. Don't continue and live, you know, your life as you've always lived it. Do something new. Do something extra. Do something unusual. Do something you never do. Hallelujah. Speak to someone about Christ. And I believe that God is going to bless you. Say amen. Amen. Right. So, in connection with that, today I want to share with you about what will happen to you when you die. What will happen to you when you die. Amen. Now, people don't talk much about what happens to people when they die. But that is very interesting because if you consider that death is about the only thing all human beings everywhere, regardless of their age, race, background, color, what else? Gender, nationality, what? Social status, family background, profession, education, what else? Financial bracket, gender, sexual orientation. What else? Life experiences. All people die. Isn't it? Religion, age, all people die. Do you see? So I think there should be more discussion about death than exists. And most of the discussion about death stops at when, where it happens. You see, there's discussion about how to prevent it. But there's not much conversation about what happens when it happens, when you can't help it, and it takes place. What really happens after that? People intentionally prefer to stop, you see, at the point where a person dies. Do you? But the Bible is not afraid to take things beyond that. Hallelujah. Because God is the creator of life. And he's not afraid to take the discussion beyond what happens or beyond the point at which people die. So that is how come you would find in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There's a very interesting story. It says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Right? This man seems to have achieved the goals of most people. Most people are trying to, you know, live good, dress good, eat good, drive good, you know. Yeah, and this guy seems to have achieved all. And he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his feet, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You know, this is a very important story. And if you're going to be a good Christian witness, this is one of the stories you need to know and be familiar with. You need to know this thoroughly. Amen. Right? So, as it happens to everyone, the rich man died. See, you can never be rich enough to exclude yourself from death. Do you understand? Sometimes your wealth can postpone it a little bit. You know, your wealth can delay it a little bit. You can push it backwards a little bit and push it backwards. But you get to a point where you have exhausted it. Do you understand? See, sometimes you buy a pair of pants and you realize it's too small at the waist. Then you take it out and you put on more weight. Then you take it out. Then you put on more weight. Then you take it out. Then you put on more weight. Now you have only one option. You can either walk with it open or you have to give up on that pair of pants. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So your money can sometimes delay and postpone death. And postpone it. And postpone it. And postpone it. But you get to a point where the allowance is finished. And you have to accept that this body is over. Hallelujah. So the rich man died, you know, also. And as you can see from the story, the beggar died first. Isn't it? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You know, because death gives everyone equal opportunity. Isn't it? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. See, right there you can see that things have drastically changed. A rich man wants to drink water off the tip of the finger of a beggar. Things have really changed. I'm talking about someone who is used to posh wine glasses. You know, someone who's used to crystal and other, you know, beautiful things like that. Isn't it? Someone who's used to the most expensive cutlery and different things. I mean, he fared sumptuously. Do you see? And now, he's in a state where even water off the tip of the finger of a beggar is luxury. Wow. You see, these are serious things. That is why God wants us to talk about it. Hallelujah. So he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. You know, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Obviously, there's some intelligence at work over there. There is someone over there who understands human behavior. That human beings always try to transition from a bad situation into a better situation. Do you understand? There is someone who is watching all the immigration crisis in the world and studying how people are reacting and responding and observing the flow of migration from country to country and studying the causes of migration. And someone has observed clearly that when people know of a better place than where they live, they take steps to relocate to that place. So as you can see, they had already prepared for such people, right? Yeah. It says, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You know. So I don't know if this is where Donald Trump got the idea of a war. I mean, I don't know, but it's possible that this is how he gets his idea of building a war. Then he said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Right. So number one thing that will happen when you die, the first thing is that you will either go to heaven or hell. Do you see? When you die, you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. Hallelujah. You will not just stop existing. You will go to a destination. Amen. You will go to a destination. You won't just stop existing. You will be taken somewhere. Hallelujah. It says, the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich one also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So obviously, the beggar died and went to heaven, isn't it? And the rich man went to hell. It says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Hallelujah. See, everybody needs to understand that a human being comes in 3 parts. Do you understand? A human being comes in 3 parts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Are you following my message?
Yeah?
All right. 1 Thessalonians, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God should sanctify you completely, isn't it? Yeah. God should sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. You get it? It says God should sanctify you wholly, right? Now, imagine if you ask someone to do something and you say he should clean it up wholly. And then after that you say that the whole top and side and bottom. What you are saying is that without doing or touching all those parts, you haven't done a complete job. Isn't it? So it says that God will sanctify you wholly. And that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a human being is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. He has 3 parts. Do you understand? See, as I stand here, there is me. Do you see? Then there is this. Then there is that. It's all on me. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you see that depending on which part of me you are seeing, you know, perhaps if I walked outside, they will call me the man in the black jacket. You see, and I'll be known mostly by my black jacket. But that's not all there is to me. There is a part that is inside. You can't see it because the black jacket is dominating it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But there comes a time when this goes off. You know, when this goes off, that's not the end of me. Do you understand that? When I take this off, this is gone off. I have changed enough such that you can't refer to me anymore as the man in the black jacket. But that doesn't mean I don't exist anymore. I'm still around. Now I've taken on a blue shirt. That is this blue? Okay, yeah. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So now my identity has changed. That is why it changes from body to soul and then to spirit. But it's the same person. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can keep taking off. Fine protocol will not allow the sermon to go beyond this point. Otherwise, you either experience Absalom or Potiphar. Hallelujah. I think you understand what I'm sharing with you, right? So when someone dies, the person is existing. All that is happening is that he has taken off the first coat or the first layer, the one we are most familiar with, the one we are most used to identifying him with. You see, so that outer layer is what he has taken off. But the person continues to exist in another form. He's just not called a man in the black jacket, but he still exists, perhaps as a man in a blue jacket or blue shirt. Hallelujah. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So, when a person dies, all that has happened is that he has put down the outer layer. Do you see? And has moved on to a place that you can't go to with the outer layer. Of course, in life there are places that you can't go to. I mean, if you're entering the shower, you can't go like this. Do you understand? Yeah. So sometimes where you are going requires you to shed something off. You have to take something off. Where it was because of where you are going. Hallelujah. So number two, when you go to heaven, if you go to heaven when you die, angels will come and escort and carry you away from this earth into the presence of God. Hallelujah. So if you go to heaven when you die, angels will come and escort and carry you away from this earth into the presence of God. Right? So when you die, you should expect an escort. Isn't it? Yeah, because this is what happened to Lazarus. You know, that the Bible says when he died, he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. He was, verse 22 of chapter 16, yeah. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, right? So when you die, you should expect to be carried by angels to go up, isn't it? Right. Now, then number three should follow, that if you go to hell when you die, then you will also be met. You see, you will also be met by evil spirits and other dead people. Now, according to Isaiah chapter 14, so you can see that beyond this earth there, ushers and receptionists who will be ushering people and receiving them. You see, I think a lot of things we have here on earth actually mirror or reflect what exists in the realm of the spirit. All these valet guys who park your car and so on. When you arrive in heaven, you will have valet options. They'll come and get you and take you. When you get to hell also, there's also valet. You you see, yeah, they'll come, just come and get you. Oh, welcome.
You get it.
Look at verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 14. It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Right? It stirreth up the dead for thee. So hell is stirring up the dead people that are already in it, you know, just stirring them up to come and meet you. Isn't it? Even all the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Hallelujah. So the third thing is that if you go to hell, try not to go to hell. You know, tell your neighbor, try not to go to hell. Hallelujah. When you go to hell, if you go to hell, there will be a reception and you'll be met, carried. Hallelujah. Number four, when you die, you will go downward if you're going to hell. Because hell is below. See the verse? The verse said, hell from beneath. Isn't it? Yeah. Hell from beneath. So when you go on evangelism and you meet people who ask you, how do you know hell is down there? Some people feel like hell is just right here on earth and heaven is also right here on earth. But you notice from verse back to Luke chapter 16, back to Luke chapter 16, you notice the scripture. It says, look at it in verse 22. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Right? Then the next verse, verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. So if hell was not down and heaven up, he wouldn't have to lift up his eyes to see it. Isn't it? So those are two scriptures that show you that hell is down there. Isn't it? Yeah. He had to lift up his eyes to be able to see Lazarus. You know? And he says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Hallelujah. Right. Number five. When you die, you will discover that you have a spiritual body of a man, which the Bible refers to as the inward man. When you die, you will discover that you have a spiritual body. Hallelujah. Because when you read the account, you can see that there are other body parts that are referred to, right? That the man, for example, said Lazarus should be sent to dip the tip of his finger. So it means that the part of a person that goes to heaven seems to have a finger. Is it not correct? Yeah, but you can understand it. You see, look at the clothes that I'm wearing. My jacket has arms. Is it not true? I mean, my jacket has this. This is the arm of the jacket. So you see, when you look at the outer covering, it looks like a human being. It has shoulders. Can you see? It has shoulders. It has a left arm and it has a right arm. So don't be surprised that you're... And the outer jacket or the outer covering is actually sewn to mirror what it's covering. Is it not the case? Yeah. To cover and to show what it is covering. So you shouldn't be surprised that your spirit has a tongue. Yeah, you shouldn't be surprised. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So that you will discover that you have a spiritual body, you know, of a man, right? Number six, if you go to hell when you die, you will find yourself in a prison where there is endless, unimaginable distress. You will find yourself in a prison where there is endless, unimaginable distress. Hallelujah. Right? Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, the Bible says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Do you see? So again, you see, as a person is going into hell, he has hands, isn't it? Then it says, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So the torment in hell does not stop. It doesn't stop. It just continues. Amen. And this is what people cannot imagine. They cannot imagine that a God who loves people, or who it is claimed loves people so much, you know, can actually create for people. But I'm saying that if you know that, or if you can believe that someone who loves grapes so much that they'll buy it, can put the same grapes in the trash, then you can believe that God who loves man so much can still put him into hell, depending on what state he's in. Isn't it? Yeah. So, number 7, quickly. If you go to hell when you die, you will discover a place where people scream and cry for a drop of water. Right? Yeah. Nobody asks for a bottle of water in hell. It's too much. Right? Yeah. In hell, you can't ask for a bottle of water. There's nothing like asking for ice. Can you add some ice, please? There's nothing like that. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you see, and it's difficult to imagine, but that is what the Bible teaches us. It says, he cried, this is verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see? So there is serious torment. People scream and cry for a drop of water. I mean, you cannot imagine it, but you just think about it. If you were a fetus in someone's womb, do you think you can imagine that there are such things as cars, currency, cell phones? Can you even, you see, it's beyond, you know. Now you may argue that, oh, it's because the faculties of the baby are not developed, you know. For that world, it is developed. In fact, it's at its highest. That is why it's born. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, when a baby is born, it is because he's developed. He has reached the highest you can be in this place. That is why it is born. So the faculties that are needed for that place are fully developed. Yeah, but even in their best and most developed form, a baby cannot, it cannot extend itself to imagine what it's going to be born into. It cannot imagine the things that are here. It cannot imagine it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if the Bible says there is a place where even a drop of water is luxury, it's like you have to beg for someone to dip the tip of his finger in water and just cool your tongue. This is not where, this is just tongue cooling. It's not trying to quench a thirst, just to cool the tongue. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. It is as real as what a baby that is yet unborn will be birthed to see. Can you understand? Right. Number 8, quickly. If you go to hell when you die, you will discover a place of unbelievable and indescribable anguish and torment. Unbelievable and indescribable torment. Hallelujah. Well, number 9, when you die, you will discover many people who received good things on earth will receive evil things in hell. And many people who received evil things on earth will receive good things in heaven. So there will be an exchange. The Bible says in verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Hallelujah. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Right. Then number 10, the last one for today. Number 10, when you die, you will discover that the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Wow. Is it amazing? It's amazing. Yes, it's amazing, right? Okay, let me give you 2 or 3 more real quick, right? Number 11, when you die, your circumstances will change radically. Your circumstances will change radically. Then number 12 is that when you die, you will remember everything that happened on earth. You will remember the opportunities. You see, one thing about opportunities, do you realize that opportunities are more recognizable after they've been lost?
Wow.
Is it not true? That you see an opportunity more clearly after it's gone, you have transitioned out of it, and you can no longer benefit from it or take advantage of it. It's so easy to see that that was an opportunity. Do you understand? So you should expect it, that when you die, you will see very clearly and you will remember all the opportunities that you had. Remember, the Father Abraham said to the person, son, verse 25, he said, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things. So you will have sufficient memory to be able to relate with what happened here on earth. Isn't it? Yeah. And you notice how, as the story goes on, this man starts to campaign that someone should be sent to his brothers, because he can remember the link between how he lived and where he's ended up. And so he's thinking that someone can go and stop his brothers before they come to such a place. That is why God is counting on you and I. We can stop people before they come to such a place. Hallelujah. We can stop people. We can stop people. We can warn people so they don't have to come to such a place. Amen. Then number 13, when you die, you will discover that there is a gap between heaven and hell. Right? That there is a gap. Donald Trump's war is going to be there, right there. Number 14, when you die, you will discover the importance of evangelists who go all over the world preaching the gospel. That's going to be one of the discoveries. When you die, you will see the importance of a pastor. You will see the importance of a preacher. See, the rich man, suddenly he said, send somebody. Even Father Abraham was trying to explain that they already have some preachers. He said, no, you need a preacher who has been to hell and come back. Eish. You will see the importance of a preacher. Hallelujah. You will see the importance of a preacher. Every word you have uttered against a preacher, every bad word you have spoken against a pastor. See, some people just shoot pastors off. These people, they just like money. These people, they are just frightening us. Look at what they are saying. Instead of being real, they are talking about heaven and hell. You know, yeah, people mock preachers who preach about heaven and hell, and they say that their message is not relevant to living. Yeah, so they don't like to go to such churches. They don't like to go to a church where the pastor talks about heaven or hell. When you go to a church where the pastor talks about money and cars and how you multiply, you know, you can have more than you can carry. You can have more than you can drive. You can have more than you can live in. You can have more than you can carry in your bank account. Yeah. You see, those kinds of messages, you know, are more interesting to listen to. And you say that the preacher, you see, I like him because, you know, he's practical. He's just down to earth. But the preacher that is talking about heaven and hell, talking about torment and anguish, talking about dipping fingers in water to cool somebody's tongue. What kind of preaching is this? What kind of preaching is this? And you quietly and solemnly swear that you will never go to such a church and you never make that mistake again. And yet what he's saying is true. The guy was campaigning. He said, I have five brothers. Hallelujah. And then the final point, when you die, you will only care about people not going to hell. That's all you will care about. People not going to hell. The guy said, I have five brothers. I have five brothers. Why don't you say it now or think it now before you die? Why don't you say now that I have five brothers? I have three neighbors. I have two colleagues at work. I have 10 people across the road from me. Why do we have to wait till we die to recognize that those people need salvation? Why do we have to wait till it's too late? Till the point where we can do nothing about it. You see, at that point, the person wanted to do something about it, but it was out of his hands. And so he was campaigning that Father Abraham would send someone to do it for him. Hallelujah. And Father Abraham said, we don't need to send anybody from here. They already have people. Can you imagine that somebody is in hell right now, asking that someone be sent from there to come and preach to people you know? And Father Abraham is answering, no, they have Paul. They have Maureen. They have Daniel. They have Jean-Jacques. And said, I even forgot about Bubu. He's also there. Can you imagine that because of your existence, no one is being sent from hell? God says that if you are here, that is enough. Diana, saying that you are here, because you are here, they don't need to bring anybody. And he's saying that your message is as good as what message Abraham would come and preach, or anybody would come and preach from hell. And he says that honestly, if they don't listen to you, it won't make a difference if somebody comes from hell. Says your message is so powerful, what you're saying is the truth. And anybody who genuinely wants to change will change from hearing you. They don't need somebody to come from hell. In other words, a preacher who has had an out-of-body experience or who has had a heaven and hell experience is not a more powerful preacher than you. That is what he's saying. It's not a more powerful preacher than you. Hallelujah. So if you will sit down and not preach, you should know that you are sitting down on a lot. You are sitting on someone's destiny. You are sitting, someone is going to go to hell because you refuse to speak. Because you didn't speak. Because you belittled the message. Because you thought it wasn't important. Because you were so obsessed with your own life and your own problems and your own issues and your own difficulties and your own career and your own family struggles and so on, that you didn't see that you had someone's destiny in your hands. Hallelujah. Listen, you are a good preacher. You have a good message. Your message is as good as the message from anyone who has gone to hell and come back. I mean, there are some people who have dreams, have visions, the Lord reveals to them, they write fantastic books and so on. But the Bible is saying it doesn't take that experience Do you understand? It doesn't take that experience. Having that experience doesn't make your message any more powerful. Do you understand? God actually is counting, he's counting more on the ones who haven't had such an experience than on those who have had such an experience. That's why the rich man was campaigning. He said that, listen, those who have had this experience, when they preach, their messages will be stronger and more powerful and will have greater effect. And Father Abraham said, no. I tell you, it's not a preach. I've been here a long time. Yeah. And Father Abraham was saying, that's not how it works. It's not a preacher problem. It's not a preacher problem. A preacher does not have to have had an out-of-body experience for his message to be valid. Yeah. God says the gospel in its simplicity as you have it is good enough for someone who wants to change, to change. Hallelujah. So don't look down on the message. Don't look down on the simple message. Don't look for a sophisticated explanation of the gospel. Don't look for something that is out of this world. People don't need that experience. They don't need that. He said they have Moses and the prophets. They are enough. They are enough. You and I have a responsibility. God has committed unto us the message of reconciliation. God is counting on us to share the good news with the people. We don't have the responsibility of making them believe. Our job is to tell them. Hallelujah. Our job is to what? Tell them. Our job is to tell them. So throughout this month, we're going to be telling them. I said throughout this month, we're going to be telling them. Every day before you step out of your house, pray that God will give you an opportunity. God will send you someone. God should send you someone whose heart he's already working on, so that you can tell the person the good news of the gospel. If they change, it's their blessing. If they don't receive it, at least you have freed yourself from the responsibility of not telling them. Hallelujah. So I think it's a good message. Please stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Yeah. Right. So bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. And today I want you to pray that God will make you a witness. God will make you a witness. A witness is someone who says, I can confirm that the facts are true. So pray that God will make you a witness. Everybody pray today and say, Lord, give me an opportunity every day this month to preach the gospel, to share the message of salvation with someone, to share the message of salvation with someone this month. This month. Today is the third day of the month, and there are as many as 28 more days ahead of us. You want to pray that God will give you a chance in every single one of those days to share the gospel with someone. No one is too great for the gospel. No one is too rich for the gospel. No one is too poor for the gospel. No one is too high for the gospel. No one is too low for the gospel. No one is too white for the gospel, and no one is too black for the gospel. The gospel is a message for every man, everyone. So just pray, 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 and say, Lord, give me a chance. Give me an opportunity in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Use me, Lord, to bring salvation to someone. Use this church, Lord, to bring some salvation to people, to show the love of God to people. Yes. People will know you. People will know you. Oh, yes. That the blood of Jesus will wash people this month in the name of Jesus. Today is a good day to give your life to Jesus if you haven't yet given your life to Jesus. Today is a good day to be washed by the blood of Jesus. Today is a good day to say yes to God's provision. Today is a good day to say thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. That I can be restored back to God. That I can have a relationship with God. Today is a good day for that. Today is a good day to return to the Lord. For those of us who have received the Lord but have strayed away from Him. Today is a good day for us to come back to Christ. For us to return to the one who loved us. Loved us. Loved us. And gave Himself for us. Gave Himself for us, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, or you're saying, I want to renew my relationship with Him, I want to start a new walk with Jesus today, if that's the prayer on your heart today, I want you to slip up your right hand quietly, and I'm going to pray with you right where you are. Just keep standing there, but I'm going to pray with you that you can fix your relationship with God in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. You want to have a new relationship with God today. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You want to be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? If your hand is up, I want you to say it with meaning. I just want to lead you in this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart
that you are Lord.
You are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Oh, Jesus, only you can wash away my sins. Only you can restore my relationship with God. Only you can bring me back to my Creator.
Only you can bring me back to my Creator.
Today, I accept you as my Master, as my Savior. As my healer.
As my healer.
And as my deliverer.
And as my deliverer.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Make me a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
Make me a true Christian.
Make me a true Christian.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
To live for you.
To live for you.
Now say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Throughout this month.
Throughout this month.
I want you to use me.
I want you to
To bring someone to you.
To bring someone to you.
I want you to use me.
I want you to,
Show someone the way.
To show someone the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Give me the opportunity.
Give me the opportunity.
To lead people to Christ.
To lead people to Christ.
People whose hearts you're already working on.
People whose hearts you're already working on.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
To bring such people to you.
To bring such people.
Throughout this month.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the glory.